This program is an extension and production of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX. It's made possible by underwriting by Joan Gellard Sargent, and I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. So have you ever wondered why practical money management isn't more commonly taught in schools, or what it would take to help students be good with money? Pocket Change is a new and creative way to empower students to change their financial paths by inspiring financial capability and teaching financial literacy through the universal language of hip-hop. Yes, I said hip-hop. So for today's show, I'm joined by Andrea Ferrero, co-founder and director of Pockets Change, and Bree Vala, the director, Certified Human Resources at Lompoc Unified School District, and she'll be joining us by telephone in a discussion about how Pocket Change is changing the way finance is taught and how this creative way of teaching is making young people aware of the tools at their disposal to do better and understand the relationship with money in a way to share avenues to employment and entrepreneurship. Today's show is live, and we invite you to join our discussion with your thoughts, comments, and questions. And you can do that by calling us at 805-781-3875. And Andrea and Bree, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here.
Bree, are
you? Thank you.
Oh, great. So I guess the first question is, talk a little bit, Andrea, about this program, how it started, how long it's been around, and why this?
Yeah. So I think it all grew out of a really deep desire to make money more approachable for learners of all ages. And that came about 8 years ago. I met a now close friend and co-founder, Pamela Kapalid, and she's a financial planner. And her and I were having dinner, and she was talking about how friends were worried about finances and money not being quite so approachable of a topic. In fact, we found out now through a lot of surveys on a national level that most parents are more comfortable talking about sex and drugs with their kids than talking about money. And so we want to start to dispel that last taboo that's out there. And we started looking at ways to bring that into schools, to bring that into communities. And that brought us to our third partner, Dialect, who is a hip-hop teaching artist and general amazing educator. And my background is in education. I've been in the education space for over 15 years now. It has gone by so fast. And I've worked with preschool all the way up through 12th grade. And one of the things that I found is similar to math, people really early on get this feeling of, am I good at this? Am I bad at this? They attach these deep emotions to money. And so we really wanted to start to unpack that in a creative and fun way. And that's what Pockets Change has grown from, a creative expression of looking at a personal understanding of money.
And you started this where?
We actually started here in Santa Barbara. And it's grown. We are national, so we work with groups in the Bay Area, in New York, and then here along the Central Coast.
And what was the idea behind using hip-hop as the approach for this?
This is one of our favorite questions. And it also leads oftentimes to, so are you teaching the kids to rap? Which, no, we're not doing compound interest raps in the workshops, though we do have some very creative kids that come back with spoken word and other things that are amazing. But it's really about hip-hop pedagogy at its core is really about creative problem solving. So the idea of, you don't have a drum, so you use a bucket. Creativity and innovation out of necessity. And so we're taking the spirit of that at a deep pedagogy level, a deep instructional level, and then we're looking at how do you understand your relationship with money? How do you understand your resources and your connection to your community and then build outward from that with finance?
And Bree, talk a little bit about what you are doing in the Lompoc School District and what you have coming up with the Pockets Change.
Yeah, so Pockets Change is coming to two of our elementary schools and is going to focus on our sixth grade students at both La Honda and La Cañada Elementary School. And this was all out of an idea that the Audacious Foundation has, where they wanted to promote financial literacy, particularly in schools where there is a high percentage of students that have been identified as low socioeconomically, because typically those families have not been involved in the financial institutions and don't have the financial literacy that could help them. And so when looking at what Pockets Change could do for our students, if we can educate our sixth graders, they in turn can educate their families, and then that can help them, the entire family, benefit from that education.
And so the two schools that have been chosen for this are which two schools?
La Honda STEAM Academy and La Cañada Elementary School.
Okay, and those two schools were chosen based on the demographics, based on the input from teachers. How were they selected?
They were selected as partner schools with Audacious based on their student population, as well as there was extensive interviews with the principals and tours of the site where they got a feel of the climate and culture of the school. And then they were identified based on that they should be the ones to initiate this process. And then we're also partnering with with the Union Bank here in Lompoc so that we can also have a facility here locally that is willing to work with our sixth grade students to help them start an account.
So as I understand from what I was reading prior to the show, each of these students starts with an account, correct?
Well, they'll be given the opportunity to open an account, and they will be gifted some funds from the Audacious Foundation to start that account. And it will be up to them if they are comfortable with giving personal information over to a financial institution, which is why they will receive that gift after Pockets Change helps dispel, just like she was saying, dispel some of that fear that mm-hmm. can be associated with finance.
Or the ineptness that's associated with trying to do it when you don't know how, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's all a learning curve for sure. And it's definitely, it's about building those relationships because part of the community is the financial institutions that are in the community. And how do you build a sense of trust and critical thinking about the relationship that's developing there?
So talk a little bit more about how this program works, Andrea.
Yeah. If I can share an activity and we can kind of like envision what it would look
sure.
like.
Sure. Let's look at it that way.
And this is one that we will be doing with the sixth graders coming up here in a few weeks. But it's been done with a lot of different groups. So we actually bring the kids together and we design a bank. And so working in small groups and using a problem-solving process called design thinking, they ask critical questions about the services that banks provide. They do some research. They get to work with adults in the room to figure out what kind of things do people like about the banking industry, what kind of things are challenges that they might encounter, such as late fees or an ATM fee. And then they also look at it from the other side. A bank is a business. So how is this business running and how would they create a business that could be profitable? And so you see them start to develop these really wonderful ideas. They have some fun in creating a logo, creating a bank name, and then they do present. And so it's that presentation skill. And that's, again, where some of that hip-hop pedagogy is coming in, finding that deep sense of sharing and being able to articulate your ideas. And so they'll come forward and they share these ideas of what a bank could be and what a bank is to them. And also through that, they start exploring questions around the banking process. And we do work with a lot of families that are unbanked, just as Bree was mentioning.
Right.
And so we're exploring that relationship. We're exploring the benefits of a banking system and how to kind of start to work in that system and to navigate it.
Now, you mentioned in doing this that you're working with kids that come from families that are unbanked. And what you mean by that is they don't do banks as a way. They're using cash.
They Correct. Might be using cash. They might be using prepaid cards.
Right.
Sometimes it's even credit unions, too, mm-hmm. Which have their benefits as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you offer these programs to kids of what age? These are sixth graders. And sixth mm-hmm. graders are what age, Bree?
They're 11 and 12-year-olds.
Okay. 11 and 12. Like
it's a good age.
The good age. And so you're offering these programs as early as what, Andrea?
As early as 6 years old. And it works. It's really interesting how early our money personalities develop, our thoughts and feelings around money.
So kids at six mm-hmm. can describe a banking system or how they would create a bank.
So the
what would that look like?
The activities are a little different at that age, mm-hmm. For sure. We're a little more simplified, but they do. They do look at the services that banks provide. They do look at thoughts and feelings because kids are sponges, and they're hearing mm-hmm. these thoughts and ideas and the emotions of the banking, people's relationships with banks, as well as people's relationship with money, and they have their own thoughts and emotions around that. And so we're able to start to help them unpack that and look at the way that those systems work. And so their presentations look a little different.
Sure.
They're more focused on creating, you know, a name, identifying key services that a bank would provide, and then talking about the relationship. How would you communicate with a bank? And then sometimes, too, we'll find that the kids, when they come back into it, to next workshop, they'll share like they had this new vision when they went to the bank with their parents. You know, I was standing in line and I realized that, you know, when they were talking about depositing this check, that meant that this was going to happen. And so you start to see that they're thinking through a process in a new way. And that's really exciting.
That is really exciting. When Bree, when you mentioned that in selecting the schools, there was this decision of pretty much looking at the schools, looking at the environment of the school, the overall attitude of the school. Who was making that decision?
That was a decision that was made by the Audacious Foundation.
Okay. Okay, and what were they looking for from the schools in order to select the two that were selected?
Well, they initially met with our superintendent, Trevor McDonald, and spoke to him about what their overall vision was mm-hmm. of what type of schools they were looking to assist in creating a whole child educational experience. And so in conjunction with the superintendent, Audacious, as well as Mr. McDonald, worked to identify a few different schools in our district. And then Audacious came to those schools, spoke to the principals, spoke to the teachers, went into quite a few classrooms, watched students out on the playground, and got a feel. And then based on that, they then selected which of the schools they wanted to look for. One of their primary focuses is looking for students who have a high percentage of students who are identified as socioeconomically disadvantaged, as well as English learners, because they want to make sure that those students who stereotypically don't get quite as the whole child educational experience are given that through our school system.
Mm-hmm.
And so they targeted those types of schools and then went and saw them in person to identify which of the schools they wanted to work with.
And do you typically, Andrea, see that there is this kind of a decision process in selecting the schools by other areas? You've
Definitely.
Presented this all the way to the East Coast and then...
Yeah, we have. And we also have worked with community organization programs. Like I mentioned, we do partner with a foster care system up in the Bay Area. So the selection process is a little different for each partner. But one of the things that's been really exciting for us is that there's some common themes amongst the kind of partners that are reaching out to us. They're really focused on innovation. They have this deep awareness. And there was a recent report that came out by the Brookings Institute. And it said that, you know, for the most marginalized youth, it's going to take them over 100 years to catch up to the learning levels that the wealthiest are enjoying now. And the kind of partners that are reaching up to us, they're saying, no, we're not waiting 100 years for that to happen.
Yeah.
We're going to make things happen now. And we're going to find ways to innovate and to be creative with our youth and to give them opportunities to explore the world around them and to deepen their skills and to really see the amazing individuals that they are and to have opportunities to share that with the world.
And now we talked about the youngest being six. How about the oldest? Higher grade do you go up to?
Well, we go up to college, but we also do intergenerational workshops, so then the age kind of goes up a little bit. So we've had families come in with their kids, and those are all really deep emotional and wonderful workshops.
And for the children, do you find that the attitudes that they have or the beliefs that they have around money are frequently picked up from their parents or what's happening in their families around money and banking, or does that make a difference?
I mean, I think it certainly does, but We try not to limit it to that. We really try and look at identifying your personal relationship rather than kind of like putting that on to the perspectives of another. And we joke sometimes, you know, we don't know if it came from genetics. We don't know if it came from the parents. Was it too much TV? Did they play the wrong video game? You know, it's not so much about like placing blame or saying that this is the wrong way to use money, this is the right way to use right. money, so much as understanding your tendencies, and then with that in mind, looking towards your own personal goals.
Fantastic. Yeah. This is Chris Kington Barker, and you're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX HD1 San Luis Obispo, KNBX HD1 San Ardo, and KSBX Santa Barbara. And you can listen on KCBX Live using your smart speaker technology by just asking your Amazon Echo, Google Home, or other device to play KCBX. It's that simple. Our topic today is Pockets Change, a creative way to teach money management in schools by inspiring financial capability and teaching financial literacy through the language of hip-hop. The voices you hear with me today talking about this topic are Andrea Ferrero, co-founder and director of Pockets Change, Bree Valla, the director of Certified Human Resources at Lompoc Unified School District, is joining us by phone, and you're invited to also join us by phone with your comments and questions. You can call us at 805-781-3875. One more time, that's 805-781-3875. And so talk a little bit more about how this works. You know, yeah. I'm trying to kind of get my brain around this. So give me some more examples about what this program is for students.
Definitely. Well, if I can share another activity
I'd love to.
And we can actually do this one all together. And if people are listening and they also want to check it out, it is on our website. So if they were to go to www.pockets with the S, Pockets Change, and then it's just /personality. So I've been mentioning a lot about our money personality, our personal relationship with money, and we actually have a quiz that you can take to discover.
You know, if I fail this, my husband's never going to let me. Okay, go
ahead. There's no failing. Don't worry. All right. And it's only two questions, so it's not
oh,
too intense.
It's two. Well, yeah.
Not too bad. And I brought a prompt here in studio with me, too, so that it would help us.
All right.
So it's just a two-question quiz, and it really helps us discover what are our personal tendencies with money. And we did not create the money personalities. A quick shout-out to Olivia Mellon. She actually created these, I think, back in the 80s. She did some amazing work around money personalities and tendencies, and she created 8 personalities, things like the spender, the saver, the worrier. And then over time, she distilled that down to 6. We took that and we distilled it a little bit further and we brought it into 4. We have not fully committed to the names yet. So if you're listening and you have ideas about the names, feel free to tweet at us.
Or call in and say them.
Yeah. So the money personality quiz, without too much to do.
All right. So
the first question is just, which phrase do you relate to more? And you can note it in your iPhone, write it down. So it's just A or B. A would be, I think more about what I have in the bank now, and it's not real until it's in my account. You know, it doesn't feel real until it's there. Or B, I'm usually spending the next check in my head before it hits my account. That one I feel a little more personal connection to. Maybe some of you do out there too.
Do we have to say?
You don't have to say it, but if you want to think it in your mind.
Okay.
All right. And then the second question, this one is even quicker. It's just which phrase again that you relate to. And do you tend to plan ahead, or B, do you tend to deal with things as they come? And now with those in mind, if I can share the money personalities.
All right.
We have some fun with this. And as I'm sharing them, you might find that one stands out to you more than others. Sometimes you might feel that you're a mix. It's really interesting. We'll have kids, again, as young as 6, all the way up through 21, 22 years old. And they're like, you know, I really think that I might be a paper chaser. I have some feelings around that. Can we talk it through? And so we do, because again, it's about unpacking those feelings and emotions around money and really realizing that it's not a right or wrong. It's about personal tendencies, personal choices, and then working towards your goals with those in mind. So our first personality, it would be if you think about what you have in the bank now, and if you tend to plan ahead, then you would be on our money matrix. You would be a complicator. We also used to call this one a worrier. And one of my wonderful partners, Pamela, she falls in this box. She will check her bank account at least once a day, but it's usually more, because she wants to know down to the penny what's there. And she had a moment this last summer where she was paying her mortgage, and she didn't get a notification right away that it had gone through. So she went ahead and paid it again. And that was not a fun realization, but it came from that worrying, that complicator tendency. They tend to really focus on all the fine details, the small bits. And then if you fall into thinking about what you have in the bank now, but you don't tend to plan ahead, you tend to just kind of deal with things as they come, then on our money matrix going down, you would be a contemplator. And we've also called this an avoider. And I love this one because kids, as they're doing the quiz, I've always see this like group that just looks down at their feet. And I'm like, they're feeling the avoider. And it's usually, I had a little boy come up to me at the end of one of our workshops and he goes, I have homework hidden in the bottom of my backpack. And I think that I might be a contemplator. I kind of avoid things. And so that personality, they tend to be just as cognizant of kind of keeping it all in their head. They're running the thoughts the same way that a worrier would, but they're not handling it as proactively. They're kind of waiting for things to happen.
So the worrier is at least going and checking.
Going and checking.
The contemplator is worrying that it's not enough.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. And then if we pop back up and we look at, you know, if you're already spending the next check before it even hits, if you're more like me, and if you
self-disclosure,
yes, I've made my peace with it.
Okay.
And then if you also tend to plan ahead, then you would fall in what we call a paper chaser. And paper chasers tend to be very proactive, but sometimes have a tendency to fall into debt cycles. So when we talk to kids about this early, we're looking to avoid that. Because when you're always thinking about, okay, I've got $400 coming in, but it's already earmarked to do this thing that I wanted to do 2 weeks ago, that can create a pattern that can be difficult. But it also has a wonderful ability, and one of my favorite things about being a paper chaser is that you're very driven to look forward to how you can create income. It's what partially drove me to become an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. and to create my own business. I started out as a classroom teacher, but I was looking for those ways to generate income and to do things. So with each of the personalities, we kind of find that there's something you love about it and maybe something you just want to be a little more aware of.
So you're getting back to, there's no right or wrong in this.
Yeah.
It's just that these are different personalities and you need to find ways to make them work more for you than against you.
Yes, I'm nodding my head really vigorously in studio. Yeah, definitely. And I think that's also a good way to kind of bring to our last personality. And my third partner in the business, Dialect, he is definitely this personality. It's a money monk. And they kind of are the ones where, you know, the universe will provide. If I have a lot of money, that's great. If I have a little money, I'm going to make that work too. They also tend to be the ones, you know, if there's stress at the table because the bill didn't get divided quite right. And they're like, you know what, guys? I've got it. Don't worry. Let's just move forward. So they tend to really look at the flow of money. And so they might not plan ahead as much as a paper chaser, but they are in the same way really looking at what's coming in, what's going out, and how can I be fluid in that process.
So the upside to that particular personality is that they probably don't have the ulcers that go along with some of the others.
Yes, yes.
The downside is that perhaps they're a little bit too laid back.
Sometimes. Yeah. And you know, and that's all about like, and because it is a matrix, and again, this is online at pocketschange and then /personality, if you want to check it out. There's fun images. But with each of these, it is really about finding out your tendencies and having an awareness then about how does that work for you? And if it's not working for you, then how do you want to be aware of those decisions kind of as you're making them?
You know, and what that little exercise kind of creates an image for me is that you're going back to having discussions around this.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever really thought about what kind of a money manager I am. I've either been successful at it or I've been miserable at it. And I know I've learned.
Yeah.
Right? We've all learned, hopefully.
Usually through trial and error. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Through trial and error.
Yeah.
Right? You get slammed or it works really well for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we want to help kids kind of see that as more of a path that they can be empowered to make decisions along rather than something they have to be reactive to.
So what you talk about the importance of empowering the financial capability and the creativity and all of that.
Yeah.
What is that? I mean, what does that do for children?
Yeah.
What have you seen the results of that doing?
Well, I think the short answer is that's where the magic happens.
Talk about that magic and what can happen.
Yeah. So I think one of the things kind of going back to the money personalities I had, and I'll share a few examples kind of as young as six and then all the way up through college age. Mm-hmm. We had a six-year-old at the Girls Rock camp in Santa Barbara, which is one of our partners, and it's an amazing organization that empowers young women. And the girls were working in band camps, and they had identified their money personalities, and then they were starting to create an idea for how they might earn money. And it could be something they wanted to do in the future. It could be something they were already doing. And I had this little girl come up, and she goes, you know, I'm an amazing artist. And she just had this power stance. And she goes, and I realized when I did the quiz that I am a paper chaser and I could have a business. And I said, that's fantastic. And she goes, so with my art, I'm going to create stickers and I'm now going to sell them for 25 cents for little stickers and 50 cents for big stickers. And I saw her that summer, and then I saw her again the next summer. It's one of the wonderful things about having continuing partnerships. We get to see the kids grow and be a part of that community. And she came back and she shared about how the business had grown, and she was expanding into small stuffed animals that she was making with yarn. And it was just incredible to see. And it's not that all the kids are going to become entrepreneurs. That's sure. not the goal. But it is that they feel like they have these innate, marketable, wonderful skills, and that they can share those unique passions that they have with the world. And I think that's where that magic happens.
Yeah. And what about for older students?
Yeah. So I think older students, it's not just feeling empowered to share your skills with the world. It's also feeling confident in navigating the systems that are out there. So one of our boys up in the Bay Area, he came in and he was just kind of bummed out. You know your kids sometimes when they're just kind of looking at the floor, they're a little disappointed. And he shared that he had gotten a cell phone and it wasn't going well, but he didn't want to talk about it. And then we went through our activities for the workshop for the day, and he came back in. We were doing a weekend workshop, so we saw him Saturday and or Friday night and Saturday. And so when he came back in on the following day, he said, you know, when I got up with my group and I presented my bank that I designed, and I had ideas, and people really, they really got them. They got what I was saying and they understood. And remember this one, and he pointed out one of the other boys, he disagreed with one of the things I shared. And we kind of had to go back and forth, but I navigated that, and, you know, and we came to an agreement. And he took those same skills and he called the cell phone company and he told them, you know, I think that there's a mischarge on my bill and I want to discuss that. And he was so proud that next day to share that they took the charge off his bill. Hmm. And it's not that that's always going to happen. You know, sure. You're not always going to get the outcome that's ideal. But that you feel confident in navigating it, that you understand that these systems, even if the system's not working for you, that you can communicate your needs and that you can negotiate for yourself within it.
That's, you know, how many times do people not have an opportunity to learn those lessons?
Yeah.
Until way later in life.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, if ever. Yeah. And Bree, what are you looking for the students that you guys are bringing this program to? And talk a little bit about how this program is going to be structured in Lompoc.
Well, the teachers are going to have an opportunity to learn about the program, and then also the students, so that the teachers can continue what Pockets Change starts after Pockets Change has left. So that it is an ongoing conversation with the students, and they can incorporate the state standards in while weaving financial literacy in the conversation as well. And just like Andrea was talking about, having our students be confident in the real world is what we're ultimately after. We want them to have the confidence and the knowledge so that they can navigate everything that comes, or as much as possible, what comes their way. And so with this, and of course, you know, we're talking sixth graders, so how it connects with hip hop can make something that typically seems rather dry when talking to sixth grade students. Financial literacy isn't something that they typically get excited about learning. However, with the structure and format that Pockets Change has, we're excited to take something that may traditionally be dry and spice it up so that our sixth graders can be excited to learn more about it, to take those lessons home to their parents. And again, our teachers who are here continue to have those tools to bring up financial literacy and interweave it throughout their lessons from now through the rest of the school year, and then continue next year as well with our new batch of sixth graders.
So this isn't a one-time shot. You're really looking at incorporating this into the sixth grade curriculum?
Yes, because with how Pockets Change operates, they have the philosophy that, you know, a couple assemblies isn't going to be enough to change the world.
Yeah.
And so they are dedicated to train our teaching staff as well as our students so that the lessons continue even after the two assemblies that the students have.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, definitely.
That's terrific. This is Central Coast Voices, and I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker, on KCBX Radio, public radio, from Salinas to Santa Barbara, on the web at kcbx.org. How did you learn your financial savvy? Was it from high school, college, school of hard knocks, or are you learning? Today we're talking about a new and clever way to teach financial literacy to students through the universal language of hip-hop. My guests in this discussion are Andrea Ferrero, co-founder and director of Pockets Change, Bree Valla, the director of Certified Human Resources at Lompoc Unified School District, and they're getting ready to implement two classroom programs in April. And we'd love for you to call in and join our conversation, and you can by calling us now at 805-781-3875. The show is live, and we'd love to hear from you. And so talk a little bit about weaving in the hip-hop. Is it not hip-hop? Is there a hip-hop to it? Is it bringing in creative exercises like you were describing?
Yeah. So I think a mix of all of those things. And it's definitely informed by all of our curriculum is strongly informed by our teaching artist, Dialect, who is a hip-hop artist, an MC, and has traveled the world as such, so brings a lot of expertise in that arena. So we do bring in hip-hop music in instrumentals to bring an energy to the room, to bring a sense of community, and I think that's just what Bree's saying. A lot of times finance can feel dry the way that it gets taught. Mm. You know, the kids get sat down, they have a brief lecture, and then worksheets are handed out. You know, you're going to create this budget using this simulated, you know, person or this scenario.
Right.
And it doesn't feel personalized. It doesn't feel relevant. So the hip hop pedagogy, the kind of the instructional side of it, it's really making it personal. And so it's not just the music itself, which I think is what most people's mind goes to when they hear
right.
the hip hop, but it's the underlying themes that music has grown from. And the hip hop community, the pedagogy, that learning process that underlies it, it really is about creative problem solving. And so we do have creative exercises. One that Dialect has done with the kids that's really popular is that they'll go through the process of kind of doing a simple beatboxing by taking the word basketball and then finding the sounds within it. And they're doing this as a breathing exercise, as a creative exercise, but also to really look at their posture. And then they're going to carry that into interview skills, into communication skills when negotiating. So all of it ties back into, just like Bree was saying, building those life skills mm-hmm. to navigate the real world. But doing that in a way that feels outside of the norm, that feels exciting and that feels engaging. When you step in the room, and I've noticed this with parents and teachers, sometimes we'll have them stand at the back of the room and they're like, "We'll just observe." And then, you know, 15 minutes in, you see them in the circle. You see them in the small group. At the end, they're like, "So did you happen to bring any extra stickers? Because we could take some of those home." And I think that, so we want to build that kind of sense. And I think that's what hip hop pedagogy does. That's what hip hop itself as a community building tool does. It brings us together and it allows us to problem solve, to create, and to share the things that we love about the world and ourselves.
Well, and I think just from what you were describing, Bree, when you were talking about, you know, the desire by the district to implement a program that addressed the children as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, so when you're talking about something like breathing exercises, you're talking about people's posture that is part of their sense of empowerment, correct?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Nodding vigorously again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's such a big piece of it. And it's also, you know, we do another activity called Human Clay, and that goes to body posture as well, which the kids are, you know, okay, show me what confidence looks like to you. Show me what feeling powerful looks like to you. So there is that creative expression piece. We do also talk about presentation skills. Sometimes Dialect will do a short performance for the kids, and then he has them call out what made it powerful, what made it work. And then they bring that into sharing the bank that they've designed. They bring that into doing mock interviews for job preparation. So it's taking that creative expression and then bringing that into real world skills.
So you're teaching decision making skills, correct?
Definitely.
I mean, when you're asking people for their opinions, they have to make a decision in order to form an opinion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great way to process it. How do you see, break it down a little bit in terms of how you see this really detaching from the regular model of teaching any kind of mathematics in school? And can the kids go back to math and...
Oh, for sure.
From this. Okay.
Yeah. And I think to Bree's point earlier, too, about, you know, we don't want to come in and do a workshop and then we leave and the kids talk about, well, that one hip hop workshop was fun, you know, that one time. We want it to be something that they can continue forward in their lives and that the teachers feel empowered themselves to continue bringing into the school. And so we do offer staff development as part of our student workshops. It's kind of a whole deal package because we want the community to feel strong moving forward. I recently had the chance to team up with a bunch of teachers through Computer Using Educators. They're a local nonprofit that serve the Central Coast, but also the entire state. But we have a really strong contingency here in the Central Coast. And I got together with about 35 teachers, and we were talking about spending and saving and budgeting. And going to your point, how does this break from the traditional model?
Right.
I had a few teachers in the room that's, you know, kind of hesitantly said, well, I have my kids sit down and do a budget worksheet and they don't particularly love the exercise and it doesn't seem like it's doing that much. And so after we had kind of presented the way that we go about doing it, we have what we call the urgent important matrix, and we look at spending in a different way. We look at it as prioritization, the same way you might prioritize your time, because really we do put our money where our mouth is. We do show our values through the way that we spend our money. And when we think of that in that way, it becomes, again, more of a personal exercise that ties to the math rather than the math feeling disparate from that. And I had this teacher in the room light up, and she said, you know what? I can build an entire unit around this, and they can have an economy in the classroom, and they can do this, and then they can look at their spending trends, and we can do percentages. We could even do ratios. And so it does connect back to the traditional mathematics in the classroom.
But in a more exciting way.
Yeah, that feels personal, that feels relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you evaluate whether this is working? You've been doing this for 8 years. What are the results of this, and how do you present that? How do you know?
Yeah. How do we know that it works? Oh, that's a big question. I think one of the exciting ways that we know it works is anecdotally and seeing how these communities that we've partnered with for years are moving forward and seeing the kids progress, seeing more of our students able to navigate those real world situations. So that's the stuff that kind of hits me in the heart. You know, that's the anecdotal stories. That's seeing our kids come back. We had one of our boys from the foster care. The kids age out at 18.
Right.
And he came back for the 3 years following and volunteered with the kids that were in the cohorts following him. And it was because he had this commitment to sharing what he had learned and to being a mentor in that space. And those powerful anecdotal moments tell us that it's working. You feel it. It's that magic. On the quantitative side, is there deeper knowledge acquisition? We see that in the way the kids are presenting. You know, when you see a 9 or 10 year old get up and tell you how the banking system is working and some ways that they'd like to see it improve in the future, you can see that they're thinking critically about that and that they're going to be more empowered to make decisions around those ideas in the future. So in that way, we're able to see knowledge progression through the activities. One exciting partnership that we have going on right now, too, that really gets to the heart of is it working, is around assessment. I am a teacher nerd at heart, so I love the word formative assessment, which is that ongoing assessment. How do we track that it's working in real time and looking towards the future? So we've partnered with Mozilla, the Internet Foundation, and we're part of their Open Leaders cohort, and we do invite others to join with us. It's an open project, and we're creating financial assessment items that can be used in your own program, but are also used as part of ours, that tap into those creative expression. So how do you track in real time that it's working for you? you and that you are learning and growing and understanding on a deeper level. So we're excited to see that continue to grow.
Have you already started that process?
We did. It's been ongoing within our organization for years, but now this is a manifestation of that more outward in the world. We shared about this in London last fall, and it's online through the Mozilla Open Leaders Project. But if you're interested in finding out more, and we really do invite people to participate, reach out to us through our email, on our website, through Twitter. You know, just let us know you're interested in finding out more, and we will share.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. And Bree, did you have anything to add to that?
No, and you know, everything that Andrea was talking about ties in so nicely with the new standards that really emphasize critical thinking, problem solving, application of skills. It for both ELA, math, science, all of the core subject areas, those root skills are interwoven throughout all the standards. And so Pockets Change provides an opportunity for the students to, just as was already stated, to use those skills for both mathematics, for communication, which is, you know, part of the ELA standards. Mm-hmm. Speaking, students are assessed on their speaking and listening skills. So when we develop confidence in those students, when we give them the tools so that they can have poise and confidence, then that shows up not only in the everyday classroom, it's going to show up on assessments, it's going to show up on the playground, it's going to show up at home, and in every aspect of their life, they will be better and stronger because of it.
What has been the feedback from the parents in the district about this coming to the schools, or have you gotten any feedback from them?
Well, we've had minimal feedback at this point because it's coming in April, and to be honest, everybody's very excited for spring break coming up next week. So their focus right now is on spring break and all the activities that are going to be associated with that. But overall, the idea of providing a whole child educational experience that doesn't just focus on traditional, you know, open a book and do some work has been... parents have honestly stopped me in a restaurant and asked, are you part of the district? Have these opportunities that you're providing my student are so amazing and are things that I wouldn't be able to do on my own. Mm-hmm. And they have been so gracious that their children are being given an opportunity to really learn so many things beyond just what is found in a textbook.
Yeah. And what about from you, Andrea? What about the feedback that's come from parents of students that have gone through the programs in the various areas?
Yeah, it's wonderful. We've heard from one of the parents that comes to mind is a dad in New York, and he came to a workshop with his daughter, and he got to sit in on that workshop. And at the end, he said, "You know, we're going to start talking about money in our house." And that's a really powerful moment. And that hadn't been happening. This was a teenager, you know, that hadn't been something. And she was getting ready to go off to college. And he's like, we're going to start having these conversations and getting ready for that. So sometimes it's small things like that. Sometimes it's bigger. I've had parents come up to me where I saw their girls the summer before. And they said, you know, like the little girl I shared with the sticker story, you know, we get parents like that come back and they said, my kid is just on fire now. And mm-hmm. I can't believe how charged up they are about putting these skills into action. And I thought this was going to build awareness. I thought it was going to get them thinking about the future. I didn't realize it was going to get them acting on it now. And those are really exciting too.
How do people find out about Pockets Change? I mean, Bree, how did you guys find out about this program? What was it that attracted you to it?
It was actually through the Audacious Foundation.
Okay,
they had done some research on good programs for financial literacy, and Pockets Change was ranked in one of the in their top listing. And so then I did some shopping on my own from the list that they procured for me. And when I saw the approach that they use for students and how innovative their program is, it fits so nicely into what Lompoc Unified is trying to provide for our students.
So, and Andrea looked so proud when you said that she was in the top, which is great. So, Andrea, how do other people come about finding you? And if a school district, if another district is listening and had an interest in pursuing this, what would it take?
Yeah, so for someone that was interested, they would reach out through our website. My email is actually listed on there because I'm the first point of contact for, you know, really seeing if we're a good fit. We want to be honest. We've also been in this space for almost a decade, so we're very aware of others that are out there. And if we don't think we're the best fit in our approach for you, then we're going to share other things that we think are great. But I am really proud of the things that we provide. And for partners that are interested, we have a booking form on the site so they can share some of their interests and we can have a conversation. Most of the people actually reach out to us at this point through other partners. So we found, like with the foster care, one of the directors that we work with closely and we've been partnered with for 5 years, she mentioned us at a conference, and then we had about 18 others reach out after that. And then when we partnered with Mozilla, we had some teachers reach out after that. Sometimes, you know, we get mentioned by an educator, we get mentioned by a family. So a lot of it ends up being word of mouth. But then we are very present in the education community. We do speak at conferences, we do share our resources online. So oftentimes we're getting people reaching out through that too.
Do you have samples, examples, or videos of students in the classroom setting using this?
You know, we do have student interview. It was just a couple months ago, one of our students and Dialect, who's really a strong part of our curriculum development, were on Fox News up in the Bay. And so that interview is on our website. We also have activities like the Money Personalities, where you can go through and you can try out the activities on your own and get a sense of what we're about. And we do really break down kind of the envisioning of what a workshop is. We do try and kind of be a bit personal about our workshops themselves. Yeah. We tell the kids, this is a brave space for you to share. So we don't do a lot of photography or videoing in the workshops. We kind of do that sparingly.
Yeah.
We have a few candidates here and there you'll see on the website. But other than that, we let the activities speak for themselves and we let those interviews and other things. Yeah, sure.
And what kind of groups? You've done this for schools, you've done this for other organizations and groups?
We have. So we've worked with museums that have internship programs. We've worked with technology companies where they're looking to do community outreach and train potential employees for the future. They want to reach out to teens in their community. We've worked with foster care and workforce investment boards in different communities. We work with schools and we love that because then we really get to empower the teachers to keep carrying it forward in the classroom, mm-hmm. Which is really powerful. And then we work with an array of amazing nonprofits, like I mentioned, Girls Rock, Santa Barbara,
right.
That are really focused on empowering kids.
And do they do this on an annual basis? Do you go back in and redo this program?
Or? We do. We do a few throughout the school year and they're after school program, and then we also do a few through the summer. So we, you know, we're a busy team. We travel around the country sharing this with different communities and leaving them with the tools to carry it on. But we're really focused on building a continuing partnership. So we are available to come back in. Many of our partners we see year after year.
And when you do this program, is how long does the program take?
Mm-hmm. So we are building it around the needs of the community. So for example, with Bree had mentioned the assemblies, with the kids, we're going to be coming in and doing 90-minute workshops. And for each of the schools, we're going to do 3 student workshops where the teachers will be a part of that. And then we'll have a staff development training. But we also, for some programs, we'll do full day. That's generally older students where they may have an already active internship or they already have money coming in that they want to talk through. And so then we might do a 6-hour or an 8-hour. But generally, our workshops are 2 hours and they focus on a specific area like financial basics, finding your money personality, looking at the banking system, spending and saving, or job prep and career readiness, where we look more at like interview skills and navigating the career world. And we also have one on creative entrepreneurship, the creative economy. So really looking at building those skills.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm Chris Kington Barker with you on Central Coast Voices on KCBX. Central Coast Public Radio. If you just joined us and you want to hear this entire show, all local shows on KCBX are available on demand by going to kcbx.org and clicking on demand under the How to Listen tab on our menu. Then just select the show you want and on the drop-down box, and there you go. You can listen to this show in its completion. We have about 15 minutes, well, actually a little bit less than that, about 10 minutes, with Andrea Ferreira and Brie Valla. We're talking about Pocket Change, an innovative approach to teaching financial capability and literacy being offered at La Honda and La Cañada schools to 96 graders in April. And we are... we can still take comments or questions for just a few more minutes. You can reach us at 805-781-3875. And Bree, how is this program going to be rolled out in the two schools, La Honda and La Cañada?
Well, the staff had a voice in how they wanted it structured, and so the principals at the two sites spoke with their staff members as far as how they would like it structured with the teacher training and then the student assemblies. And so they tailored how they wanted that done specific to their site needs. Mm-hmm. And then I facilitated the coordination between Andrea and the sites.
Okay. And so is it done in an assembly or they're done as a large group in assembly?
Yes, it will be done in an assembly, but they're being broken up into groups. Okay. So that they can have enough space to do, as you heard, some of the activities they're going to be doing are going to need to have some space.
Some physical
and if you
space.
Had all
oh, yes.
90 students all together, doing that human clay activity, it could get wild, I would think.
I would think, especially with sixth graders.
Yeah, we break into the small groups. But we've had 150 teens all together in a space before. We've definitely done the larger groups. We do have three amazing facilitators all together. We bring music in the space, and Dialect likes to tease that we're partying with a purpose. So we want to have all that energy in the room. And we're excited to see all of these sixth graders and have them share all the amazing things that they bring to the table.
So if someone wanted to find out more information, say again, Andrea, how they could go about doing this. And talk a little bit about the cost for this kind of a program. Can organizations afford this, and how do they work that out?
Yeah. The short answer, yes, it is affordable and it can happen. And please do reach out. We would love to get to know you and your communities. The best way to get a hold of us would be either email or by phone. Both of those are on our website. So if you go to www.pocketschange.com, you'll see on there contact us, and you can contact right through the site. It also lists my email, so you can reach out to me personally. Now that you've gotten to know my voice a little bit, feel free to feel like we know each other a little and reach out and share your ideas and what you're curious about learning more about. So those would be the best ways to reach out and to find out more. And as far as being affordable, we do work with nonprofits. We work with grant writers and foundations, I should say grant providers and foundations, to really make it affordable for communities. And we do have a sliding scale for our workshops that we apply so that we can make it work for different groups' budgets.
And it sounds like you've had all kinds of different people reach out to you if they've had an interest in something like this. If it was an individual teacher or a district, or they've found grant funding in order to make this viable.
Yeah, and we do have our full curriculum also available online through Teachers Pay Teachers. We really believe in that open movement of teacher sharing curriculum. And so we have individual teachers all across the country. We've had, I think it's close to 2,500 teachers across the country just in the last, last couple of years here that have started using the curriculum on their own. So they aren't bringing us in, but they're reaching out with questions and they're using the materials on their own. We really love if we can provide you more support and kind of kick you off and make sure that you feel strong. But we also have our materials available that way too.
Yeah, and that's great that you're not trying to just hold on to this because this is something you really want to empower a lot of people with, correct?
Yeah, we want to change the way finance is taught, and that means lots of us doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, so Bree, on the kids that you're bringing through the school too, not only in the assembly, but talk a little bit about how you envision the accounts that are being donated happen for them too. What do you suspect that's going to bring to them?
Hopefully our goal is for them to be comfortable with the financial institutions that we have here in our community, and be able to navigate them to have a safe location in which they can keep their money, and to have that confidence that they can navigate. If we start with a simple savings account, mm-hmm. that then they will then become more comfortable with perhaps, you know, when it comes time for them to have a checking account, or maybe go so far as to do some investing. But if we start with the baby step of a savings account and even just getting them into the habit of saving, as, you know, depending on where they fell in that personality test, so that they are more comfortable saving and not spending everything right away, then that's going to be a gift that they can use for themselves in the future. And not only will they be comfortable with the institution, but we would hope that then their families are also comfortable in using the financial institutions in our communities.
Now, these kids are sixth graders, so they're going to be moving to a different school the following year. Is there any plan for following up with them or for continuing something for them or with them in successive schools?
At this point, we haven't done that. This is our first year partnering with the Audacious Foundation and our first year in trying this. So we always like to go slow so that sure. we can go fast. If we're going to do something, we want to do it well and make sure that, it's successful before we go too large scale.
Yeah. No, that makes absolute sense.
I think that in the conversations that we've had with Bree, and we've worked with a lot of different school districts and organizations over the last 8 years, and what has really stood out and what stands out with all of our amazing partners is that commitment to really supporting kids and building skills to thrive, not just in school, not just in their home life and their community, but for the future, you know? And I think that that's been strong in every conversation I've had with Bree, with the principals from the schools that we'll be partnering with. And I think that same thoughtful approach is what they'll carry into moving forward with this. So, we're excited.
So we've got just a couple of minutes. I want to make sure with both of you that we're making positive, we're getting key points in. So what do you want to make sure is understood about this topic for people that may be listening here?
Yeah, I feel like that's a big question. I had to look down at notes to make sure I don't forget something really important. I think the really big things is that first and foremost, we want students, we want learners of all ages to feel confident and capable in the world, and that we want them to start looking at creative expression and problem solving as a way to build those skills. And that we feel that everyone, really everyone, has the power and the ability to navigate their finances and to be aware of their tendencies and to work towards their goals. And we're excited to be a part of that in the way that we can.
Yeah, and this really assumes that everybody is capable of doing it if they've got the right, if they understand that, correct?
It's all a process.
It's all a process. And Bree, any quick last-minute comments from you?
We're just so grateful to be able to provide this opportunity for our students, because the skills that they're going to learn through this are going to help them not only just navigate the financial components of life, but as has been highlighted multiple times, it's going to give them confidence to navigate so many of the other things that they will come across.
Okay, great. I really want to thank my guests for today's show, Andrea Ferrero, co-founder and director of Pockets Change, Bree Vella, the director of Certified Human Resources, Lompoc Unified School District. And next week, join me for an interview with U.S. Congressman Salud Carbajal in a conversation about his first term as, so far, representing Central Coast. Central Coast Voices is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities in collaboration with the Community Foundation and KCBX. Underwriting by Joan Geller-Sargent, I'm Chris Kington-Barker. Thank you for joining me on Central Coast Voices.